Well, first of all, I was billed as giving a talk on Old Albury. Well, I'm not an historian, and that frightened me very much. There's been some marvellous talks given on Albury and about Albury by very illustrious people. And so I've got together a few bits and pieces which I hope you may find interesting. And I'll begin by saying we have the site of a Roman temple on Farley Heath to remind us that the district goes back to the Roman era. Indeed, Albury is a very old village, going back a very long way. And the old village of Albury was situated around what we now speak of as the old parish church. And in Saxon days, the village was known as Eldebury, Eldebrie. I don't know whether you pronounce it Eldebury, but that is the way it was spelt. And of course, the present day village was known at one time as Weston. Anthony Brown, his photograph's over there, and he's Elsha King's great-grandfather, was born in a cottage near the old church in 1813. He records in his diary that there were several families living there then and up to the 1830s. He mentions some families by name. For example, the miller named Hawkins, and there was a flour mill and a paper mill. So I'm not too sure of which miller he was. There was Box, a keeper, and William Reffle, known as Badger. They had wonderful nicknames in those days. And the Little George Inn, kept at that time by R. Jarlett. Horatio Benjamin Brown, Anthony's father, was a steward to Henry Drummond, and he at one time lived at the Little George Inn, which are now Grange cottages where, as you know, Mrs. Sellings lived. The village was gradually moved into Weston Street. As those in the park were demolished, and by succeeding owners of the mansion, the old church was dismantled, but Henry Drummond had a family vault built in the chapel. Henry Drummond, of course, gave the present parish church and, of course, built the Apostolic Church, both in 1840-41. The old rectory, or part of it, is one of the oldest houses in Albury today, and the present rectory was built in 1923. This hall was the village school in 1832, when the children paid tuppence to learn to read and write. The school on Albury Heath was built by the estate, namely the 7th Duke of Northumberland, in 1894, and closed in 1974, which we were all very sad about. Prior to 1832, there had been a schoolroom in the old village for boys, and a barn had been fitted up for the girls. I expect some of you here remember the red cloaks given by the Duchess. Miss Sherlock, did you ever have a red cloak given by the Duchess? And how did you get them? I mean, did you get, were you measured for them and given one when you went to school?
No,
they just came along. Jolly good.
I know Grace had, my elder sister.
Your elder sister, Grace Brown.
She had one.
Yes.
I remember that, but they'd
girls had red coloured petticoats
or something? No, those red cloaks.
No.
Oh, that was another.
They were very attractive, but I never got one, unfortunately.
There is a photograph which Evelyn Weir has taken in one of the red cloaks, taken up at Brook, which is very interesting. But I sent the history of Albury School to Doris Court, who was Doris Sutton. Some of you will have known her, whose father, Mr. Sutton, was head forester on the estate from 1906 for a good many years. and she was a pupil at the school and had several red cloaks over the years. And well remembered going to a retreat at the park. We marched down from the school to the park house where the Duchess was waiting and gave each of us a cake in the shape of a loaf made in the kitchens of the park house. We had to curtsy and say, "Thank you, Your Grace." You can imagine them all being instructed well before they left Albury School. Now, Albury Charities, in the late 18th century and early 19th century, there was a soup charity given by someone named Bonsey, who lived at Mare House. From November to February, six poor families in Albury and Shear received one pint of soup once a week for each child. And George Duncombe, who died in 1729, left his charity of the parish of £1.16 to be given in bread for the poor. The late Miss Annie Fuller told me her mother used to bake bread, and the Miss Fullers, as you know, live quite close here, and that as a young child, she and a brother used to take a basket of bread on Saturday evenings up to the church, which was put in the porch and given to the poor on Sunday who came to church. I noted in the charity's records, now in the muniments room of the Guildford Museum, that in 1920, given in bread during the year, £2.08 had been paid, and £16.03 for food, fuel and clothing to 65 people. That was in Albury in 1920, 61 years ago.
Have you any idea how much a loaf of bread cost at that time?
Well, about, I think about Threepence Halfpenny, wasn't it? Threepence Halfpenny to fourpence. Yes. The Tillingbourne Show was founded in 1865, and when I came to live in Albury 53 years ago, the show was a great attraction. Visitors came from surrounding villages and even farther. The fair with the swinging boats and the roundabouts and the cakewalk gave a lot of us a great deal of pleasure, and dancing on the grass of the band afterwards. Those really were the days, weren't they? A maypole stood on the village green opposite Pratt's stores. Now here's a very remarkable picture that Miss Dodsworth has kindly brought, and if you look at it, there's a maypole. This is taken opposite Pratt's stores. Of course it was 1811, I should say, this was picture was. And there's the maypole there. I'm not too sure which is meant to be Clive Lodge, but perhaps Miss Dodsworth would be able to tell us afterwards. But there is the maypole there, on the green, opposite, which is now Pratt's stores. What's interesting in Anthony Brown's diary records, a maypole stood on the village green opposite Pratt's stores. He records that he made a new one in 1854 to replace one that had been damaged by someone climbing to the top and so breaking it. Vandalism in 1854. The last man in England to be hanged for arson lived on Albury Heath. He set fire to the old mill, and I have heard it through Elsher, the Brown's family, that he took a pot shot with a gun at the miller, who saw him in the light of the flames, and of course he was arrested and tried at the Old Bailey and sentenced to be hanged. I was also told that feelings ran so high about the fact that he would possibly be hanged that they could not have him tried at the assizes, which were then held in Guildford, and that is why it went to the Old Bailey. And there is a model of the old mill in the village before it was burnt, which was used at the Old Bailey during the trial. I've lost one of the pages. You'll have to wait a minute. Seven. All right. Oh. In 1887, the Bonfire Boys were founded by Mr. William Barber. Mrs. Mount, who's here, is married to his grandson, and who very kindly has brought those lovely pictures and mounted them all for us over there. Mr. William Barber's, his young daughter, had an operation for gallstones at the old Royal Surrey Hospital, which was very dependent on voluntary help. And Mr. Barber was very grateful for what they'd done for his daughter, so he hoped to raise money for the hospital by building a model of the hospital and wheeling it round the village on a truck. And gradually after this, the Bonfire Boys came into being. Monsieur, Miss Sherlock remembers that, how lovely. The Bonfire Boys came into being. They held a torchlight processions round, first of all just round Albury, and later on round, they became the Blackheath, Chilworth and Albury Bonfire Boys, and the torchlights processions were held in all of those villages. Led by the Albury Brass Band, it ended with a mammoth bonfire on the heath, and a fancy dress dance in this hall, preceded by a whist drive as many as 44 tables. Now, Mr. Vic Woods, who regrettably, as you know, is in Hyde Style Hospital, was the last chairman of the Bonfire Boys until they were finally disbanded in 1947. And I have the history of the Bonfire Boys written down, and it also records that Mr. William Barber kept up his interest in the Bonfire Boys until his death at the age of 95 in 1942, I think he died. Is that Mrs. Mount? 43. And so that was a long history of the Bonfire Boys. In the 18th century, Albury had its own workhouse. It was fairly self-sufficient by keeping pigs and growing vegetables and making their own clothes, etc. And of course, a governor to run it. It is now known as Heath Lodge on Albury Heath, where Mr. Bob Williams lives. The late Mrs. Ann Williams gave a very interesting talk on it at one time to the History Society. 50 years ago, the Albury estate was very much a part of the village, and long before that. Many of the workpeople living in the cottages and taking part in village activities, and every summer the Duke and Duchess of Northumberland came to reside at the park for a couple of months with their family and staff, which included the horses, grooms. I think they came to Chilworth Station by train and came up through the village to the park. In those days the village seemed a much closer community, with children going to the village school and taking part in life in the village. There were the school sports on the heath and the school concert in the village hall every year. No longer having no school, I feel that a great slice of being taken out of the present day Albury village. In 1920, the Albury and St. Martha's Women's Institute was formed, bringing together for the first time women from all walks of life. I mention that because you will appreciate that women did not go to meetings or have meetings or clubs in the days before the First World War. There were a lot of things for the men. No doubt the women supported them, but there was nothing for men. So the WI solved that. There was a very flourishing mothers' union in those days, run by the church. That was closed down a few years ago. Albury was responsible for its own district nurse through the Albury and St. Martha's Nursing Association, which was affiliated to the Surrey Nursing Association. And money was raised by a tennis tournament held each year. Now, the tennis tournament was played on surrounding tennis courts that people had, but the headquarters were at Albury Park, and different houses provided the tees. Some of you may remember that. You, Miss Sherlock, Mrs. Palfrey? When they had, Mrs. Palfrey used to belong to the tennis club, so there we are. And It was supported also by yearly subscriptions and, of course, donations for those that could afford them. For example, those earning £2 per week paid 4 shillings and 4 pence a year, and 15 shillings for the services of a nurse, of the district nurse, for a maternity case. Nurse, as we all knew her, lived in a bungalow in Western Yard with no telephone. Messages were written on slate left on the doorstep for that purpose, if nurse was out. And she rode her bicycle everywhere. I remember Nurse Trescott telling me how she rode right over to Mustard Copse, which is right the other side of Farley Heath and places like that. And I know there are one or two of us in the room now whom she attended when our babies were born. Nurse Trescott by name. Now, Albury at one time had, these were the things that were here, the Shearer and Albury Fire Brigade, brass band, a drum and fife band, choral society, rifle club, cricket, football and bowling club, still going strong, a stoolball club, a youth club, a girl guide company. I believe we have a couple of the guides here. Do I understand it was run by Miss Helen Lloyd was your captain? That's Mrs. Nicholas and Mrs. Parfrey. A workman's club at Brook, and latterly a men's club in Church Lane, now made into two flats. There's shops in Albury. Perhaps Miss Sherlock, you can help me with this about the shops in Albury. I have here Mr. Ford, a draper, Mrs. Fuller, post office station, the Mrs. Fuller and George Fuller, their brother, I should say. Although I think Miss Annie Fuller was the postmistress, wasn't she? Stationery, newspapers, etc. And Mr. Jack Miles, the butcher. And his brother also had a butcher shop in Shear, hadn't he? And then there was Parfrey's Garage. Can anyone, Michelle, what was Parfrey's Garage before? Was it a saddler shop? Oh, thank you. And Knights the Builders were over the top. And the saddler's names were?
Language.
Yeah. Then there were King's, the Bakers, closed in 1979. And Mr. Cooper, the tailor, who lived in Swiss Cottage. Pratt Stores, I think you will see by the photograph I have of it, the date is there when that first came into being. But there was a shop in Albury long before that, and I think it could possibly have been King's the Bakery. That probably was the shop, because in the diary I've mentioned before, it mentions this shop in Weston. That would be in the 1840s, and I should think the old bakery is more or less that age, isn't it? And does anyone know when public transport first came through to Albury? In the 1920s, Tillingbourne started, didn't
they? Yes, I think it was. I remember
the Order Shop started.
The Order Shop? Aldershot Traction Company, were they first? And would it be the 1920s? Not, was after the First World. Mrs. Tedner? And were.
In those were the days when
there was a bus going to in 1920, there was a bus every 2 hours. That was Aldershot and District. And that went to from Guildford to Dorking. Oh, that's interesting.
But didn't come up to.
No. Going from where?
Then at the bottom of their drive or somewhere, and yes. Or perhaps the wrong, I don't know, but she said that they had to go there if they wanted to get into
Guildford. Yes.
No buses there.
And they ran too early, you think?
Anyone know when they started, Fran?
No, I don't know. I thought.
Yes, I used to go by the
Elsham might used to go to school by then.
Yes, to school. But I was born in 1913. I went there when I was, it would be about 1926.
Yes, I think, yes, that was then, but they ran before that, I imagine. But of course there was no electricity in the village, was there? And no gas, I take it, until...
Oh, the gas was before the electricity.
Before the First World War, do you think? Gas in the village?
No, I
wouldn't know. I do know that there was no sanitation in Albury village when I first came to Albury. There used to be a remarkable cart that went by at dusk to all the cottages.
Bring out your dead.
Yes, which was, that was sanitation in the 20s. Miss Sherlock finds that very amusing. It was very, not perhaps quite as hygienic as one could have wished, but useful. Known as what, Missy?
The Lavender Man.
Oh, marvellous. Known as the Lavender Man in Suffolk. That was lovely. I think he had a name in Norbury, but it wasn't the Lavender Man. I seem to remember it, but perhaps we won't record it. Miss Helen Lloyd told me a lovely story as we were speaking about transport. There were two ladies, Miss Everett Green and Miss Sladen, had a motor car. And the people in the village had the excitement of seeing the motor driven out, preceded by a man carrying a red flag. And Miss Sherlock, you remember that?
I remember that.
Oh, marvellous. Yes.
They used to live at Albury House.
They lived at Albury House here, where previously the Martin Tupper lived. Yes. Well, I hope some of you are going to really talk generally about Albury's history, particularly those of you who've been here a long time. And there must be some things you would like to discuss about among the pictures. You see on the wall we have the picture of the state party at the Duke of Northumberland's coming of age. That was the brother of the present Duke. That Duke, of course, was killed in the war, in the last war. And I don't feel I've told you a great deal about the history of Albury, but I think it might give some of us food for thought that perhaps we are lucky to live in the Albury in some ways as we know it today, with its mod cons. Not that our bus service is as good, my particular bus service isn't as good as it was in 1920, but that's progress. There are many, many more cars and no men with red flags. But you see, the changes are coming very, very rapidly to all villages. We're not alone, and I hope I've interested you for a few moments. Albury's vast. The history of this village is remarkable, and it needs someone far more able than myself. But I hope you've enjoyed these sort of domestic things I've told you. And as I say, changes are coming very rapidly, but I think probably one of the nicest happening for us in this room was the forming of the Friendship Club. Thank you.
This recording was made by Mrs. Wynne Brown in March 1981. Please do not make any recordings from this tape unless by the permission of Mrs. Brown.